A pastor's wife named Keisha would worship at the front of her church every Sunday. But inside, she was harboring bitterness.
How do you go to church? This is what I ask myself. How do you go to church and you sing praise and worship and you're worshiping the Lord and you know the word and you're serving in ministry, but yet you can't forgive your father? That does not add up.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of Choosing Forgiveness, for March 10th, 2021. I'm Dana Gresh.
Think of how many needs there are among the women in your community, the hurts they're carrying, the wrong ways of thinking they may have, the destructive choices they're making. How might God want you to get involved in their lives? Mentoring, sharing what God has taught you. How might He want you to get involved for such a time as this? That's what a pastor's wife in the Los Angeles area has been asking the Lord. She has a passion for teaching the women in her church, based on the encouragement in Titus 2 for older women to teach younger women. Keisha not only wanted to train other women, but she wanted to make sure she was sharing solid biblical truth with them. That quest for biblical materials led her to Revive Our Hearts. It also made her realize the need to deal with bitterness and unforgiveness in her own heart. We're about to hear that story. Keisha and I first connected on Twitter. I had the joy of getting to know her personally. I love her heart to serve other women. And I'm so grateful that she's been able to find resources to share with other women at reviveourhearts.com.
Let's listen to what God's been doing in Keisha's life. Keisha grew up frustrated with her father, and eventually that frustration led to bitterness.
Honestly, I don't have many memories as a child being with my father. The memories that I do have are not pleasant memories. Just tons of disappointment, tons of empty promises, tons of never coming through, never being a man of his word, not showing up when he said he would. So my memories of him are just not good. I believe my father left when I was 5 or so. From 5 to adulthood, it made me seek after maybe affection or love in wrong places. The attention of men, because didn't really have a male figure, or a dad, I should say, who could show me that love and the affection and the care of a man. So it would cause me to search for that in other places. You know, he chose to leave the family. And unfortunately, you know, he had a drug problem. And so, in all growing up, I would say, well, this is his excuse. This is his reason. I'm giving him an out. You know, he had a drug addiction, so I'm going to give him this out. But really, I was still harboring bitterness and unforgiveness towards him because I felt abandoned as a child. So the abandonment was the root of the unforgiveness. The way I became a Christian was through a very traumatic experience in college. I had an ex-boyfriend at the time who passed away. Very distraught over it. I was just very empty, searching, trying to figure out, what am I here for? What is this life about? Why am I experiencing all these hardships? And so I became a Christian in my college bedroom by myself. It was as if God says, are you ready to try me now? You've done it your way. You've tried this, you've tried that. Are you ready to come to me now? And so I surrendered in my college bedroom. So once I became a Christian at college, I started to attend our local church. by myself, which was a little odd because I went from party girl to now attending church by myself.
Keisha continued separating herself from her father, who'd caused her so much pain in her childhood. And eventually she got married and became a pastor's wife.
We got married at age 25. We've been married ever since. And he was called to pastor. So 5 years ago, he was called to pastor. We've always attended church together, you know, of course, when we're married. And he was a minister at his old church, our old church. He was there 31 years, pretty much all of his life. So from his church, he was called to pastor, and we've been at our church for about 4 or 5 years.
Keisha was serving in her church plant in Los Angeles, helping her husband, worshiping the Lord. But bitterness was buried deep inside her heart.
He'd, you know, try to pursue a relationship, but I would always kind of just brush him off, you know, not really wanting to deal with him. He's been in and out of prison all my life, so he would always reach out, maybe through prison, through letters, through calls. So he's never just not been in my life. He's always been there. It's just that I wouldn't receive him. I wouldn't receive the calls. I wouldn't respond to his letters. So throughout my whole life, he has always been there.
That unforgiveness was a secret. On the outside, no one would have known Keisha was bitter.
How do you go to church? This is what I ask myself. How do you go to church and you sing praise and worship and you're worshiping the Lord and you know the word and you're serving in ministry, but yet you can't forgive your father? That does not add up. As a Christian woman, it doesn't. Or as a Christian, period, it doesn't add up.
As the church plant grew, she took on the role of women's ministry leader and began searching for materials that would point women to Christ.
Well, I had to start it from the ground up. So with lots of prayer and trying to see what is the best way to start the ministry, I decided to start researching, well, what are other women's ministries? What are they doing? What can we do to start from the ground up? I was a bit frustrated. I was a bit disappointed because the resources that I would come across, they were not about pointing people or pointing women to Jesus Christ. It was more self-help. Self-help, how to be successful in life, how to find a husband, how to make money, self-help. So out of frustration, I was so frustrated, but almost wanted to give up. Almost wanted to give up looking for help. That's how frustrated I was. I came across the Revive Our Hearts website and looked at leadership, looked at the resources that were available, and that's when I first came across the Seeking Him book through the Revive Our Hearts website. It was as if the Lord knew my frustration. He knew my desire to want to point women to Jesus Christ, wanted equipped us to love Him and have a deeper intimacy with Him. And lo and behold, I find Seeking Him. It's as if Seeking Him literally just fell on my lap. Before I introduced it to the women's ministry, which is about 20 or more women, I began the book with maybe 5 other women. It was a new book, a new opportunity to read as one huge group. And so I started with 5 people. And as we were reading the book, we would meet and we would discuss the chapters. And there were some chapters in that book that we had never heard before as far as the content. Holiness. Why is holiness something that I've never really heard in terms of you personally being holy? So we were discovering content in the book that we've never heard before. And as we discussed the book together, we realized how much growing we needed to do in Christ, how much we didn't know about being a woman of God, and The book really just struck a chord in our hearts. The forgiveness chapter for me personally had me in uncontrollable tears. I didn't realize how much unforgiveness that I was harboring in my heart, specifically towards my father. And so it was the first time that I had to deal with unforgiveness in terms of my relationship with my father. And so the forgiveness chapter was very impactful for me. It was as if God stopped me in my walk and said, you need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. You cannot move forward now that you are aware of the deep-rooted issues that you have in your heart towards your father.
As she walked through the years of broken promises and the memories of pain, Keisha had a choice. She could remain in bondage to the bitterness, or she could forgive her dad and let her heavenly father heal her wounded heart. She chose the path of forgiveness.
So once I was convicted of that, of course, after much prayer, I decided to be more open towards a relationship with my dad. And so practically, the forgiveness chapter helped me to start building a relationship with my father. It was as if one day, the bitterness was removed, and I was able to be open to receive him into my life. I began to speak to him over the phone more. I would accept his phone calls. I would actually check on him. How are you doing today? And that sounds really strange that I would have to even make that first step, to even care about his day. That was a huge thing for me. So I would just make calls, text messaging, and then finally in August 2015, my dad visited our church for the first time. That was a surreal day. I couldn't believe, and I still think about it, it doesn't seem real to me, that I went from not having any contact with him or not wanting to deal with him, ignoring his phone calls, to actually picking him up, bringing him into our home, and going to church with him. No one but God. Amazing. His relationship with the Lord is, I wouldn't say he doesn't have one, but I would say he needs to strengthen his relationship with the Lord. He doesn't really attend church often or consistently, and so that's kind of what I'm trying to encourage him to do. Again, you know, he has addiction issues that he has to deal with, and he has hurts and pain and things that he's dealt with, you know, within his own life. And so I'm trying to push him towards Christ even more. Forgiveness is freedom. Forgiveness is freedom. I felt a ton of weight lifted off my heart, lifted off my shoulders. Guilt lifted off of my heart because, again, I was feeling hypocritical. You say you love the Lord, you worship, you pray, you praise, but you're living this secret life of unforgiveness. So the forgiveness definitely allowed me to be free. So I would say to any woman who's dealing with hurt or bitterness to not be afraid. To not be afraid and to make the tough decision to deal with it. Once you face that hurt, there is freedom. But we have to make the first step. We have to have some courage. It takes courage to deal with bitterness and unforgiveness and hurt. It's a scary place because you have to become vulnerable. And I think we tend to not want to be vulnerable. We're already in a hurt place. So I would say to that woman who's hurt, who is experiencing any type of unforgiveness or bitterness or anger, for whatever reason, to be courageous, face it, and truly let the Lord deal with their heart.
Keisha had forgiven, and now she was free. The small group of women at her church finished the Seeking Him study, but it didn't stop there.
So after the group of five, after we read the book, we decided we have to tell the other women about this book. So we went on another group study of Seeking Him, and this time it had to be almost 30 women involved. As women were reading it, they would tell their coworkers and their family members and friends, and next thing we know, it's about 27 women, some from different churches, some, you know, coworkers, but we were all reading this book together, and most of the women found the book to be very, very helpful, very eye-opening, very convicting, very educational. And for the most part, I think most of the women found it to be very challenging, challenged their Christian walk, their life in Christ. So we went through the book again as a larger group. After Seeking Him, we started the True Woman 101 book. Love that book again. We're laying the foundation of what godly womanhood is about. So after Seeking Him, we dived into the True Woman 101. And after True Woman 101, we just finished True Woman 201. And so we're really just trying to educate ourselves on the portrait of biblical womanhood. There are many, many different views on what womanhood is about. However, the right perspective of womanhood comes from the Bible, and that's what I love about the True Woman 101, 201, and even Seeking Him. It's biblically rooted. It's not based off of popular opinion or the culture. It's based off biblical principles.
The resources from Revive Our Hearts have helped Keisha, not just as a women's ministry leader, but as a child of God, a wife, and a daughter. She sees the ministry equipping her for such a time as this.
I did find the help that I was looking for. The resources on Revive Our Hearts are amazing, from the blogs to the books and the pamphlets and the videos. All of those resources help to equip leaders on how to lead an effective women's ministry. And what I love about the Revive Our Hearts ministry is it's rooted in Christ. There are no other gimmicks or tricks or traps to try to get women to come and buy their resources or anything of that nature. It's just about Christ and pointing women to Christ and freedom in Christ. I think the times that we're living in, it's very difficult to be a Christian in this time. We're going against the grain when we're sticking to biblical principles on all different topics, from homosexuality to abortion. We're standing firm, hopefully, on the Word of God, and so it's a challenge. It's a challenge. The hostility towards Christians, to me, it's heating up. So we definitely need to be strong. We need to stand firm on the Word. We need to be, you know, just firm on what we believe, and trust that God will keep us in this time. Revive Our Hearts, the resources, the information, it teaches me the Word. So once I know the Word, I'm able to stand firm on it. The truth is what Revive Our Hearts helps me to stand firm on, the truth. And once you know the truth, you are free from the culture. You're free from the pressures. So Revive Our Hearts helps me to stand firm on truth. It helps me to know truth. What is truth? Of course, truth is found in the Word of God.
Wow. What an amazing testimony.
And timely too, Dana, as these issues are so much at the forefront of our national conversation, what we see happening in our country and in our world. So I love hearing stories like Keisha's, and I'm so encouraged as I've seen what God's done in her life over these past several years. Here she was serving the Lord in ministry, and yet bitterness and unforgiveness were keeping her from being the servant of the Lord that he wanted her to be. And she was on a search for biblical material that she could trust for the women in her church. And when she found reviveourhearts.com, wow, what a lifeline that proved to be to her, not only for her own heart and the process of transformation in relation to her own bitterness and unforgiveness, but also now as she's multiplying, sharing these resources with the women in her church and beyond. It's a beautiful thing to me. And what I really love is that reviveourhearts.com, with all its resources, I mean thousands and thousands of helpful resources, that was there when Keisha needed it. Thanks to listeners who have donated to this ministry. What an investment that has been. And now you're hearing today, if you've given to Revive Our Hearts, you've heard in Keisha's story the fruit of your investment.
Yeah, thank you so much for being a part of her story. And let me remind you that a very big part of that giving comes from our monthly partners. Those are the people who believe so much in what God is doing through Revive Our Hearts that they've stepped up to say, I want to be a part of this on a regular basis. And Nancy, I've frequently heard you say, our monthly partners are the lifeblood of this ministry.
Yeah, I use that term, lifeblood. I use backbone. I use any word that shows that they are really critical. They are vital to the ongoing outreaches of this ministry around the world. So these are people who commit to pray for Revive Our Hearts. They support the ministry financially at $30 or more each month. We have a lot who are at $30 or $40 or $50, some at $100. There's some who are $500 or $1,000 a month because the Lord has provided and made that possible for them. But whether it's a seemingly large amount or seemingly small amount, these monthly partners make it possible for Revive Our Hearts to be there for women like Keisha in this country and around the world.
You know, Nancy, that's why Bob and I have chosen to be monthly partners. We see this fruit. We have a front row seat to it. It's beautiful, and we love being a part of it. That's why I'm overjoyed to invite you, to ask you, would you consider joining our monthly partner team? You'll have that same thrill that Bob and I do when you see the fruit of your giving. And when you take that step and become a part of the monthly team, you'll receive a special welcome gift from Revive Our Hearts this month.
Yeah, it includes a lot of goodies that are going to be a blessing to you and in your home. And one of the items that's included is a new booklet that our team has produced called Glad You Asked. It's answers to 10 essential questions. And one of the questions in that booklet is particularly relevant to Keisha's testimony today. It's a question about how do I forgive when I've been hurt so deeply? This is something all of us battle with at times, and you'll find this a helpful resource. And in addition to using it for your own personal growth, it's a tool you can use in a discipleship or a small group setting.
It's a great resource, and the Glad You Asked booklet is just one way that we say thank you for becoming a monthly partner. You can find out more about how we welcome you to the team by visiting reviveourhearts.com, and you'll also be able to sign up there. Or you can call us. We always love to hear from you at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959.
Now, do you ever feel like God isn't answering your prayers? Or how do you respond when God doesn't answer the way you hoped he would? Well, tomorrow we're going to hear some wisdom and encouragement on this topic from a woman who was very special to this ministry. Her name is Elizabeth Elliott, and I know many of our listeners consider her their friend. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth wants to help you find freedom through forgiveness. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.